This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Jovinko steps up. He scores. Toronto FC takes a 1-0 lead on the road.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
We are revving up our hogs. What? Wait, no, I should. Should I say, am I allowed to say hogs?
I give it a check mark. Yes,
okay.
You can.
All right. I can say hog because Sebastian Giovinco celebrated by riding his hog around.
Is this going to be a thing? We're going to see different celebrations by Gio this year?
I guess so. I don't know. We'll have to find out from him at training the next time we speak to him. This is TFC Pitchside at Dan Riccio 590 is where you can find me on Twitter. He is at UnfitRef. What a weekend. What a start for your Toronto FC. A 2-0 win at Red Bull Arena. Their first ever win at Red Bull Arena. Just their second win in New Jersey.
Starting the season right.
As they have for the last two seasons. Let's remember, though, last year they went win over Vancouver Whitecaps and four straight losses.
True, but they got the monkey off their back with winning in New York. So I'm looking at the positives, Dan.
Yeah, so two wins now in New Jersey for TFC. They get the goal from Sebastian Giovinco, the assist from Sebastian Giovinco as he passes it off to Marky Delgado on the counterattack to put the game away against the Red Bulls. Over the course of the show, we are going to discuss this game. We'll break it down from every which way possible. And we'll also talk to TFC2 captain Chris Minella, who was in TFC2 training camp over the past week or so. Looks like he'll stay there with TFC2 and then move on from there eventually. But for now, he's with the farm team. So, 2-0 win at Red Bull Arena, Thomas.
Yeah.
And it was kind of everything I expected it to be.
You know, being?
I did the match preview on Friday and thinking about what Tim Bezbachenko said on the show last week and thinking about everything that we've heard from Greg Vanney over the course of the offseason and thinking about the offseason acquisitions, it kind of went exactly as I expected it to. It was a hard-nosed, gritty game. They tried to play defensively. They sacrificed some offense. And in the end, rather than just getting a 0-0 draw, which is what they would have been more than happy to get, they end up with the 2-0 win because of game-breaking talent like Sebastian Giovinco.
And the crazy thing is just looking out in the Twitterverse and seeing how everyone was looking at the game and saying, you know, picking spots where they looked weak, this doesn't look too good. It's a 2-0 win in New York. It's 3 points on the board. It's a very Torontonian way of thinking. We're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Everything's so bad here. When everything gets good, expectations get a little higher, and now we're looking to see flaws. It was a great win. 3 points, one shot on target for New York Red Bull, 90 minutes. So what's wrong with that?
Yeah, you stopped the highest scoring team in MLS last year, the reigning Supporter Shield winners, from scoring on their home field, a field that was nearly impossible to win at last year. And as M says on Twitter to me, at DanRiccio590, wasn't pretty, but mission accomplished. But Benoit over Will in midfield, maybe I'm overreacting, but Will in possession was not good. See, there's your point about nitpicking. And
yeah, it's 3 points.
Look, Stephen Badishore,
I can't stress that enough.
Stephen Badishore didn't have the greatest game. I think Will Johnson gave away possession cheaply at times.
Daniel Lovitz.
They all did at some point.
Not so good.
As they were more concerned about clearing their area than they were about moving the ball upfield at certain times. But this is first game with a lot of new players. And also, Stephen Badishore specifically didn't have a full preseason. He was injured through most of it.
No, and again, like you just said right there, how many new players were on the field in the starting 11?
Quite a few.
A lot.
Yeah.
So timing, chemistry with the goalkeeper, with the defensive players, with the midfielders, with the forwards. It's all new. So to win 2-0 gritty on the road, what more do you want? An away win is never beautiful. It's never pretty. Well, this is what it looks like.
Some people might say that this was a perfect away game. Sure, you gave up some chances, and Lloyd Sam should have certainly scored for the New York Red Bull in the first half. He didn't. You take advantage of that later in the game. So that's what TFC did. They took advantage of their opposition in the same way that so many teams did to them last year, holding up defensively, doing everything they could to stop Sebastian Giovinco. Watch every game back that they played against New York City FC last year, outside of the one at Yankee Stadium, the first one at Yankee Stadium, where it was just a gong show with goals everywhere. But New York City FC did everything they could to frustrate Giovinco and play defensively and do all those different types of things. And last year, TFC made so many mistakes defensively that they couldn't even employ this strategy, because when they did, it was futile, because no matter what they did, they couldn't stop goals from going in their own net.
No, and for once, the ball bounced in TFC's way, because there was a lot of times they were very weak down the flanks. They're playing a very narrow game, kind of everyone in the middle. It's kind of like a gang mentality, gang defense, right?
Yeah.
The ball's bouncing every which way. How many times have we seen it bouncing into TFC's net, not getting those bounces? Everything went the way you would want it to go if you're a TFC supporter.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see the new players. Clint Irwin had a decent game in goal. We'll talk about that. Tsubasa Endo was really good. We'll talk about that. But Drew Moore, maybe, I don't know about you, but I think he was the more influential player of all of them. And what he did in the center of defense was named to the MLS Team of the Week, along with Sebastian Giovinco. And he spoke post-game, because even though we as watchers of this game thought TFC maybe made more mistakes than we would have liked to see, Drew Moore didn't think that way.
You know, we stayed extremely organized, especially defensively against a team that is going to come at us in their home opener. And I think the Red Bulls, they want you to beat yourself. You know, they want to bait you into mistakes, and we didn't do that. You know, we took advantage of a couple opportunities that we had and stayed extremely organized. And you know, they had the better of the play probably, but I never felt uncomfortable. I never felt pinned in. Maybe a couple moments early in the second half, but the kind of performance that we prepared for all preseason.
And there it is.
Yeah, that's the key point right there.
The new captain of the defense,
collected.
The new leader of the defense, not only gets MLS Team of the Week honors, but he feels he never felt uncomfortable at any point, that he didn't feel pinned in. So it may have seemed that way to us, but I kind of agree. Aside from a couple of clear-cut chances for the New York Red Bull, they kept pretty much everything to the outside, and it shows in the stats that they only allowed one shot on target.
Yeah, and that's, for me, that's perfect defending. Everything on the outside. Goalkeeper's dream.
Was this something that TFC did at any point last year? Was this a game that you could have seen them win at any point last year?
Who's to say no, 100% not? There's the odd game here or there that you'll look and say they should have done better. They could have won this game, like we saw over the weekend. But no, they seem different. They seem like a different team. They are a different team, obviously.
Completely different mentality than I think we saw at any point last year.
And that's the key. I think that's the key. Yeah. I think getting into the playoffs, even though it was that one game.
And it's nice to preach this new mentality, but for a coach like Greg Vanney, to get the result from this new mentality in game one of the season, I think is imperative. And he spoke about that a little bit post game.
Gritty. I think we dug deep. Not everything was perfect, and nor is it on day one. But the guys competed. They competed for 90 minutes. They covered each other. They scrapped things out, made plays when they need to make plays defensively. And we're starting 8 games on the road, and what we talked about is give ourselves a chance to win games, right? And a lot of that for today was some good, strong, hard defensive work, and we did that. And in the end, we gave ourselves a chance to win, and we did. So I'm very proud of them. It's a first game of the season, so building blocks are in place, but it's about a culture of winning. And for us, we came on the road and won in a very difficult place, the first time we've ever won in New York. So in terms of developing confidence for this group, and we have 7 more on the road, so one at a time. However we get results, we get results. That's all that matters.
He took the words right out of my mouth. Culture of winning, and that's the key. You look at last year, that was one step, a building block, moving forward. Normally, TFC, like we said just momentarily, they would hang their heads and they'd get caught on a counter, on the odd goal. Something bad would happen. They wouldn't get that bounce. Last year has brought some confidence into this side.
Rob tweets in at DanRajo590, was exactly the type of game TFC historically would have lost. Composed defending, but still sloppy at times. Big 3 points. Kings in the North, one of the great supporter groups. 3 points, not always pretty, but good teams find a way to win when not playing great. So a lot of the same message coming from the fans here that, yeah, it wasn't the greatest game. Sure, they didn't have the same attacking verve that they showed at points last year. And you could see Sebastian Giovinco getting upset, frustrated at times that he had no service and he was alone on an island up front.
First game.
Eventually, it all worked out. Because yeah. How did they win this game? How did they get that opening goal? They were composed defensively, organized defensively. New York got caught getting a little too hasty trying to get that winning goal.
They weren't shook at all.
And Michael Bradley provided a sumptuous through ball for Sebastian Giovinco, who then provides a wonderful cross for Tsubasa Endo, who gets taken down in the box.
And I believe the second goal, too, it's morale boosting to not only beat New York Red Bull at home for the first time, but getting that second goal.
Yeah, and there's another thing that Vanny talks about consistently.
And the way they did it.
Getting the first goal and then being able to play to our strengths and be able to catch teams when they are pushing too far forward, especially when you have pace like that up front with Sebastian Giovinco. Because early on in this game, I got one tweet that said, yeah, when you're playing, Hail Mary pass to Giovinco, you're not going to have a whole lot of success offensively.
No, sometimes you will. Sometimes it'll work. But majority of the time, it won't. You can't play that long ball. No. Even in the MLS anymore, you cannot play that long ball.
And that showed in the stats as well. They had 58% pass completion rate yesterday in that game against the New York Red Bull. But it worked. And as we say, when this result goes your way, any team will. Perfect away result. And that's really the only way you have to look at it. New 4-3-3 formation. I thought for the most part it looked more like a 4-5-1. Or a 4-1-4-1.
Because Giovinco was all alone out there, like you said.
For most of the time, and they just hoped and prayed that Lovitz and Tsubasa Endo could do enough running to get up there quickly enough with him. I thought Endo did a great job yesterday. Didn't look like an MLS rookie that he is playing in his first game. They severely lacked that type of pace on the wings last year, and they didn't have it. And it'll be interesting to see what happens once Josie comes back. He's likely going to miss the New York City game as well. But having that pace on the wing in a Tsubasa Endo and having that type of worker on the wing as well is a good way to put it.
Having a player having something to prove too, as a rookie.
And it may not always translate in other leagues and higher leagues, but I think still in the MLS, a guy with that type of work rate still can translate very well.
And this result was great for his experience, too, because it was on the road, the way they won.
Apparently, the Japanese media was all over him for this game, too.
He's got some groupies.
A couple other notes here on TFC pitch side. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. So Endo shines. It's not the end of the line for him.
That was weak. That was weak.
What? Where's my rim shot?
I'm not on the controls.
It's not the end of the line for him. He's not going to see TFC2 anytime soon if he keeps those performances up. But Daniel Lovitz on the left side. Look, I don't want to write him off after one game.
And you shouldn't.
You shouldn't write him off after one game. I remember when he first came up with TFC and he played in his first couple games.
I had that same feeling. Yep.
Very impressed with what he was able to do. He's been bounced around a little bit, tried to teach him left back last year. He's become a more versatile player. This is his third year in MLS. You got to give him a break. He didn't have a great game. Nobody's disputing that. But I think you have to give him a break, and he's probably going to get the start next week again.
Yeah, the worst you can do is get on a player for one bad outing, especially when it's the season opener.
But
let's see.
Yeah, but Marky Delgado came in and immediately changed the game.
And I'm just happy someone else was able to finish. It was nice to see Delgado get that goal and not Giovinco get that goal, because everyone just is expecting Gio to score bucket loads of goals. So it's nice to see another player finishing with class.
Mike tweets in, that kid Endo is what we needed on the wing. He has great pace. Ken says, how composed was Marky Delgado to finish that too? Also, Clint Irwin commanding the area was a welcome sight. You being the goalkeeper on the show, Thomas, what did you think of Clint Irwin's first game in TFC Red?
It was surprising to see. Well, it wasn't surprising to see a little bit of shakiness, especially on set pieces and crosses, corners. I think they had two corner kicks in the game. Kind of looked off. It takes time to get chemistry with your back four. They have to know when you're going to come out for the ball. You got to know when to back off. That takes time. So all in all, this is a perfect game for Clint Irwin to get a clean sheet because he didn't really have to do much. So it's great for a goalkeeper's confidence to get a clean sheet in this manner.
Yeah, I think so too. And we'll see how it goes from here. The defense first approach, we're likely going to see it a lot in these first eight games on the road this season. TFC need to have a different mentality. They probably didn't have that enough last year where you want to be one team at home, going for it at home, defending your home field, and be another team on the road, one that's hard to get those 3 points against because on average, you look at away records in MLS, most teams, even the good ones, don't win more than 7 games on the road in any given season.
So it's always great to get your first one, get it under the belt because you know what? BMO is going to be a fortress this year.
Yeah, it is.
BMO is going to be a fortress this year. So these are points that we need to get.
I think so, too, for sure, with Toronto FC.
It looks like a fortress.
They're going back to New York next week. New York City FC is on the docket at Yankee Stadium. I'll have a preview of it on Friday, give you my 3 keys to the game there, and, well, everything that does come with a TFC pitch side match preview. That is history between the two clubs. Not a long one, just last year. And also, we'll tell you some stuff that you didn't know about New York City FC.
Look for it on Fridays, right? Every Friday?
Friday afternoon, late afternoon. Get it on our podcast page. So make sure you are subscribing so that you don't miss any of these. At Dan Riccio 590 is where you can get me on Twitter. He is at UnfitRef. One more thing we'll be doing throughout this long 8-game road trip. It's going around to see you and where you are each and every week when TFC plays. And that's supporter groups. That's just supporters in general. We know a lot of you host viewing parties wherever you may watch each and every away game. This week on TFC Pitch Side, we're calling it a fan feature. And this week, our first fan feature is with the capo of the Inebriati. That is Ellie, interviewed by our good friend and TFC Pitch Side correspondent, Marco D'Onofrio.
Say the supporters club.
It's Inebriati or Inebriati for the Mangia Cakes.
For the Mangia Cakes. How did you guys come up with the name? Where did it come from?
We're a bunch of drunk idiots to begin with. So when we started up in 2013, there were about 12 of us, and what I always say is that first year we really punched over our weight class in terms of our size and our output of TIFOs and just sort of product in the stands. And so when we were deciding on a full name, that first year was a bit of a test run. We were in Section 111, so we called ourselves SG111, but we decided we needed something that stood out a little bit more, and we had a little bit of brainstorming going on, and one of our members, Giles, came up with the idea for the name of Inebriati, and we thought it fit very well considering how much we had pulled off and based on our small size, and so it fit really well. And actually, a couple weeks later, we came across this Mitchell and Webb sketch. Mitchell and Webb are a sketch comedy team out of England, and they did a sketch called The Inebriati about a shadowy group of Illuminati type that run the world, but they're always just short of two drinks drunk. And so we added the second T to represent that we finished that second drink.
So it formed in 2003, like you'd mentioned.
2013,
sorry. Like you'd mentioned, which is relatively recent compared to some of the groups who have been around since day one. What possessed you to form your own group and your own supporters club?
Well, when we formed, there was the atmosphere at BMO Field had sort of taken a little bit of a nosedive, and that's to be expected when the team has the record that it had had, right? And we had been putting up with essentially 8 years of just losing and of heartbreak. That length of time of futility will always lead to infighting and to politics sort of popping up. And, you know, some people have a different mentality than us. So a lot of people couldn't bring themselves to sing and to go crazy for 90 minutes when the team was that bad and when the front office and management and ownership was really sort of dropping the ball every opportunity they had. And so I was in one group. I was in U Sector, which actually they formed they used to support the Toronto Lynx at Varsity Stadium. So they've been around for a long time and they do some awesome stuff. And the rest of the guys were in Red Patch Boys, and some of our current members as well were part of North End Elite, which had folded the year before. So we decided to get together and create a new group based on our shared mentality of, you know, 90 minutes, flags up, voices up, going crazy, you know, bring the energy, bring the atmosphere. Really, really sort of trying to promote an ultra mentality in the stands. So we had all found each other through the various groups and our activities supporting the team over the 8 years leading up to that. And it just sort of fell into place. We had all left our other groups and we found a home in 111 and a home with each other. And that's really what drew me to it. It was the fact that we created a family for ourselves.
You had said that, you know, you guys formed in 2013, you know, amid of despair of losing and a plethora of it. What's been the biggest change now that the team is actually good and a lot of pundits are predicting them to go all the way to win the MLS Cup? I mean, have you noticed a difference in the atmosphere at BMO Field over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, last year, it started in 2014 with the signing of Defoe. When you bring over a big name like that, it's always going to bring people. It's going to bring people who are interested and people who have been staying away because they didn't see the team as having value or having a chance and a hope in hell of making the playoffs. So it's brought people, and it's brought people from all different sort of mentalities. So it's been really good for filling up the stadium and starting to bring the atmosphere back. Last year was just absolutely wonderful. It was from the first home game right through. There was energy and there was excitement. So it's made sort of our lives a little bit easier in terms of what we do in the stands because there's more people that want to feed off that energy and want to help create that energy. So it makes what we do easier to facilitate.
Last year we saw the construction of a phase one at BMO Field. This year we'll see phase two. What are you guys most excited about this season? I mean, what do you guys have planned in terms of TIFO now that you'll have the canopies to utilize if needed?
That's probably the only thing that we're happy about. We led the No Argos at BMO Field campaign last year and the years before it as well. So the destruction of BMO Field is really something that bothers us. Having the roof and having a pulley system that the front office is setting up for us is going to be awesome because that'll allow us to do big TIFOs that you see in Europe, that you see in Greece, you see in Germany, and throughout Italy even. So it's we're really excited about that because, I mean, if we had a middle name, it would be TIFO. Because that's really what we love to do. We love to get together and have a couple beers and paint together and come up with crazy things. So that'll be fun, and that opens up a whole new dynamic in terms of creating and displaying TIFOs.
So has the club reached out to you guys about potentially coordinating some big TIFOs, and what's the plan going forward for the season?
Not yet. The club doesn't even know what's going to happen because same thing as last year, nobody was able to get into BMO Field until the home opener. So the club doesn't quite know how it's going to work. We don't quite know how it's going to work. It's going to take a couple games in order to get it rigged up and test it out and see what works and what doesn't work. The club's really good. And I have to sort of go back to my first comment about how the FO and management really dropped the ball every chance they got. They've learned and they're really good at facilitating things for the supporters now. They're really on the ball. They want us to do our work. They want to help us. And so basically in terms of TIFOs now, we just sort of do them and we let the club know what we need, which is a 180 degree change, and it's really nice. It's really nice to know that the club wants to be our partners in this.
Now, it's no secret that Toronto FC supporters groups have had their privileges revoked on the road for the first four home games, but you guys are the only ones facing sanctions for that home opener at BMO Field. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And just quickly comment, I mean, do you find it justified? Is it fair? And what really happened in Montreal?
Yes, it's justified. We went to Montreal. We broke rules. We knew we were breaking rules. And so we were punished, and we take our slap on the wrist and we move on, and we continue to support the team, and we continue to bring our passion and energy. It's what we do sort of calls for a little bit of line walking, and once in a while you gotta dip your toes over the line. It's part of bringing the energy, it's part of bringing the excitement, and it's part of our role as supporters to sort of keep the club on its toes. And that also is, I mean, in this instance, it's not keeping the club accountable, but it's also to be able, it's part of the our ability to flex our muscle and to keep the club accountable to the supporters and to the fans and to the players. So I think that what we got, the two games that where our privileges are revoked, is fair. You know, we're not incredulous about it, because it's as if we went, you know, we went into somebody's house and we smacked them in the face. We're not surprised that we're getting smacked back, right? So no regrets. I don't expect to see that again, at least for a very long time, because it's not necessary at this point. But when it is, we'll consider our options and we'll look at the situation. We sort of deal with it situation by situation. What I'm concerned about is the fact that the club is handing down these sanctions. From what I understand, the clubs now are being pressured, not forced, but pressured by the league's management, by the head of security for the league, a gentleman named Ray Whitworth, who was head of security at Arsenal, gained infamy by chasing down a guy in a Peperami outfit at an Arsenal training session. He went on to lead security for EPL and for the England national team. And he's got, from what I understand, a master plan laid out, in my opinion, to neuter support and to make it like the empty crates. Sorry, I'm a Spurs fan, so I call it that anyways. But it concerns me that the league is now having the clubs do its dirty work for it. In my opinion, if the league wants us sanctioned, the league should sanction us. They shouldn't force the club to sanction us. I wouldn't want to be in the new president Bill Manning's shoes, to have to come in and his first act as the new president of TFC is to sanction his own fans. That's not a pleasant way to start off your relationship. He's been very open with us and he's been very forward with us, so we know where he's at and he knows where we're at. So it doesn't change our relationship with him and it doesn't make us bitter or sour. It's just the way things have to be. And as I said, we take our time out and we move on. It's no big deal.
Elliot, it sounds like the game's about to kick off, and I don't want to keep you waiting, so thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you at BMO Field throughout the season.
My pleasure. Everybody's welcome in 114 from any walk of life. As long as you're a lunatic and you want to go crazy for 90 minutes, we want to see everybody out there, hands up, scarves up, and losing their voices every week, because everything that we do for the team, and this is going to be a good year, so we want the whole city to get behind the team.
And if you want to be a part of our TFC Pitchside fan features, well, let me know. @DanRicho590, send me a tweet, send me a DM, or email me dan.richo@sportsnet590.ca. We're going to try and work it out so that we can get through all of the different supporter groups over these next 8 games. And we plan to do a fan feature on every single one of you.
The voices of TFC. Exactly. We want to hear it.
You are the voice of TFC. You are the one.
You're the atmosphere.
That have kept this team alive through these first grueling 9 years and now into year 10. So we want to hear from you on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. When we come back, take a look around the MLS and we'll talk to Chris Minella, captain of TFC 2. It's all still to come. TFC Pitchside.
Follow the guys on Twitter.
On a Sunday afternoon.
@DanRiccio590 and @UnfitRef.
Really? Couldn't get away too soon. I can't imagine anything that's better. The world is ours whenever we're together.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Finley back across, Higuain trying to hold the lead. Oh, what about that? Absolutely fabulous. A goal of complete inspiration.
Higuain starts this play, getting it out wide to Ethan Finley. First touch lets him down. It's all about gaining that half a yard. The half a yard was actually behind Federico Higuain. Stop it! That first touch, the ball's behind him, doesn't matter.
What an incredible goal from Federico Higuain.
What a very polished call by the announcer there, yeah, too. Pronouncing every letter in every word. Great. Fantastic.
This is TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Quickly, we're going to go around the MLS before we talk to TFC 2 captain Chris Minella. So that was the goal of the week. It's a bicycle kick. Higuain got on his bicicleta and scored a very beautiful goal. So I imagine it will be MLS goal of the week. And Columbus ended up losing the game. So it was all for naught. Here's an interesting stat. So Portland, in the rematch of MLS Cup final, Portland gets the win 2-1 on a late goal from Fernando Addy. And here's an interesting stat. Most goals after the 75th minute over the last three MLS seasons. Give me a guess. Who do you think is tops? Considering the game we're talking about, this shouldn't be a difficult question to answer.
Higuain.
Portland Timbers. I know you're still caught up in the bicicleta, but the Portland Timbers...
I got lost in your Italiano there,
I know,
my friend.
The Portland Timbers have 35 goals from 75 minutes on over the last three MLS seasons. 10 of them are go-ahead goals. Number two in MLS is Toronto FC.
Just don't give me any more questions,
okay,
please.
I'm sorry. I know you get all flustered.
It's not even getting me flustered. You just get me with those questions all the time. Right on the spot. Tell me now.
Toronto. Toronto FC, 29 goals are second over the last three MLS seasons. Five of them have been go-ahead goals.
Here's a stat for you, Dan.
All right.
It's not a question.
I
it's a
hear
stat.
It. Give it.
36 goals over the weekend in 10 games.
Yeah. And it's the
crazy
most on MLS opening weekend. The most prior to this weekend was 27. Set in what year, Thomas?
Again, with the damn.
At least I just have to guess a year. I don't know. 2005?
2001. Ah. When there was only 12. There was only 12 teams in MLS. Ooh. I know. We didn't plan a Jeopardy show today.
Ooh, I hate that. But I hate that horn.
Just
going to hear it a lot.
Kind of what we do. Portland wins again over Columbus. And Kai Kamara didn't do a whole lot in this game. It was all just Federico Higuain.
The Higuains are killing it.
Yeah, I do want to talk about FC Dallas because I think for me and my money, I think they're the best team in MLS, and they probably will. To me, they will win the Supporters Shield this year. I love two players on their team, and one of them is featured prominently on my MLS fantasy squad. That is Mauro Diaz. He had two assists as they beat Philly 2-0, and the sumptuous assists from Mauro Diaz. He is, aside from Jovinko, maybe my favorite player to watch in MLS with FC Dallas.
I didn't do my fantasy scouting report there, eh? That's why I'm third last, I think.
No, you did not. Elsewhere, the LA Galaxy, big 4-1 win over DC United after giving up the first goal. Mike McGee finding himself right back where he was a couple of years ago with the Galaxy, 2011-12 there. Developed a great partnership with Robbie Keane, and they seem to have gotten off to a great start.
Three of the goals came from those two players.
Exactly.
So, there you go.
NYCFC 4-3 over Chicago.
What a seven-goal thriller this was.
Two things. Whenever there's a game like this, I want to throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Why?
It felt a little bit like that when TFC played that 4-4 draw with NYC last year. It's just gross. There's so many mistakes being made on the pitch that should never happen. Like, they're kind of fun in their own weird way. Like, all these goals are being scored, and Jovinko did score some nice goals in that game. But at the same time, watching defenders play like that just makes me want to puke.
You know, I wonder what Pirlo in the center of the field was thinking and looking at all these mistakes. Do you think he just goes through the motion? Is just like, what do you think his mindset is when he sees these rookie mistakes from professionals?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because there was 19 shots, total shots on target in this game.
And if you want to see the most unprofessional professional soccer player in your life, or he just he looks like an average Joe. Like, check out a picture of Tommy McNamara, because he does not look anything like a pro football player good for him that he is. He scored a great goal this weekend. He just doesn't look like it. Montreal and Vancouver, 3-2, as Nacho Piatti was incredible. Two goals and an assist for the Impact.
Everyone talks about Vancouver's defense.
Well, they were tops in the league last year.
And 3-2,
well,
right out the gate.
Three to TFC on week one last year.
Yeah, but to Montreal?
Working out the kinks, I guess.
To Montreal?
I know. I would
I'm surprised.
You know what? I think Montreal's kind of flown under the radar here. Even without Didier Drogba, I think they're a very good team. If they can somehow survive injury, those attacking three that they have with Harry Ship and Nacho Piatti, I think Montreal's got a good-looking squad.
But there's your key right there. If they can avoid injury in an MLS season,
Every team has to avoid injury.
Yeah, exactly.
Real super success. And finally, my money for the game of the week went right down to the wire. Orlando trailing 2-0 to Real Salt Lake. They needed extra time. And into the 94th minute, they were still trailing 2-0. And then the good Canadian boy that he is, Kyle Larin, sinks Salt Lake.
Balson into Larin. He gets a touch and a redirect, and he scores. Pulls back a goal here in the fourth minute of stoppage time.
Just 7 minutes in. Was he in an offside position? Was he not in an offside position?
Ball over the top. They're trying to get a second goal. They're trying to equalize. There's a shot and a goal. Unbelievably, Orlando City. Two quick goals in stoppage time. And it's Bedlam at the Citrus Bowl. It's 2-2.
What a finish, and Kyle Larin already making your fantasy teams happy with a goal and an assist in those final 2 minutes. Finally, Sporting KC with a 1-0 win over Seattle, and Chris Wondolowski gets a goal, San Jose defeating Colorado.
Naturally, who else scores for San Jose other than Chris Wondolowski?
Maybe Innocent Emigata.
There it is.
Whenever he gets healthy.
There it is.
But yes, there's your MLS roundup for this week. Here's a quick update on our TFC pitch side MLS Fantasy League. Check out my tweets at DanRacho590 if you want to join the league after 1 week. Joe Camilleri, managing the Maltese Falcons, stole the show in week one. 99 points. He's got a 12-point lead. As we say congrats to Joe, you don't get anything for your week one win, but maybe by the end of the season we will have a prize to give to the winner.
Look, whenever you play fantasy, it's all about bragging rights.
Exactly.
That's all it's
and
about.
And you have very little of those. Third last for Thomas Michalakos.
I'm gonna pull a Chelsea. I'm going to start really, really, really slow and then kind of squeak my way to the top.
46 points for Thomas after week one. Producer Bozy has 63 in Bosnian Bajo, just loving it. And I have 85 points. So I had a good first week. But I'll tell you, from my experience with MLS Fantasy last year, it's very, very difficult.
Especially when those injuries start rolling around.
All right, we're going to be doing a lot of different stuff with TFC 2 this year, get you to know some of the guys there that are coming up through the academy. As we know, Molan Babuli got his senior contract this week, so he's with the big club now and likely going to feature for them some early in this season. But last week we talked about another interesting player already capped by Canada, and he is captain of TFC 2. It's Chris Minnelli. He's not only one of TFC's great hopes for the future, but also for us right here in Canada, already appearing in Olympic qualifying, Pan Am Games, and even making his senior debut in the last year. He is midfielder Chris Minnelli, currently training with TFC 2 and on a homegrown deal with the senior club as well. Chris, how's it going out there in Vancouver? How's preseason training treating you so far?
It's been going good. It's day two now, and it's been well. The weather's not been the greatest, but can't complain too much about the training, so it's been good.
Hey, you missed Snowmageddon over here, just in case you didn't know.
I've heard. People have told me.
A little rain can't hurt you too much.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not driving through the six right now. It's been hell. But getting back to training here. I've seen you compared to Paul Stalteri a little bit, and for a Canadian player, that's kind of just about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend in Canada, and he's done great things over his career, and And to hear those words is definitely flattering. And, you know, I can only hope to have half of as good of a career as he did, both internationally and at the club level.
Who do you model your game after?
You know, I try to be my own player, but I do watch a lot of defensive midfielders specifically. You know, Andrea Pirlo is a big one for me that I watched, his sort of subtle movements and the way he adjusts to the ball and picks out his pass with near perfection is sort of something I try to emulate. But, you know, I just try to work hard and give my best game in and game out.
Chris Minella, our guest here on TFC Pitchside. I'm Dan Riccio. He is the midfielder for TFC2, captain of the team last year as well. So I hear you come from a strong Juventino family. Is that where that Andrea Pirlo love comes from?
Yeah, sort of. I'm actually a Roma supporter, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
more Daniele De Rossi a little bit.
Yeah, of course. De Rossi is definitely someone I look up to, even Francesco Totti. But Pirlo has just come from, you know, the Italian national team, seeing him play at Milan. And also the biggest thing was just him playing the same position as I was. But yeah, I'm definitely a Roma supporter over everyone in the Serie A.
How are you going to feel if you end up lining up across from Andrea Pirlo later this year?
I mean, that'd be definitely a dream come true and something I never thought would even be possible in my career or my lifetime. But if that were to ever happen, I'd definitely have to ask him for a picture after the game.
You were quickly named the captain last year when you were loaned back to TFC2. And Jason Benn seemed to put a lot of faith in you down there. What did you learn from that experience and that leadership role?
I learned quite a bit, actually, especially, you know, from the young guys. I would see they would look up to me and, you know, I know the older guys, but being in the role, it's definitely not the easiest because you have to make sure you're on top of your game and you're a vocal leader as well on and off the pitch. So it's definitely not the easiest, but it's something that I'm gladly take hold of. And, you know, Jason has put a lot of faith in me and I'm very happy because, you know, not only does it make me try to be my best, but also I want to help my teammates as much as I can.
How was the year for you and your development? I mentioned that, you know, you had the Olympic qualifying, you had the Pan Am Games, you're with TFC2, you were up and down with the senior squad as mm-hmm. well. How was that for you and your development?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. You know, any player will tell you that they want to play games as much as they can. And, you know, the TFC2 gave me the opportunity last season to stay as sharp as possible, and going into the Olympic qualifying, you know, that was the main reason I was so sharp, because I was getting minutes game week in and week out. But overall, I thought I've learned a lot from last season. Definitely watched a lot of video on performances and watched a lot of video and throughout the MLS and also the USL to sort of see what I can improve on. But I thought overall I've learned quite a bit from the year and hopefully just progress and push forward into the senior team this year.
I'm Dan Riccio. This is TFC Pitchside, listening to Chris Minella, midfielder, currently training with TFC2. Hopefully see him with the senior squad later this year. Now, it's a catch-22 a little bit with TFC2. Last year was the first year with the club, and, you know, wins were hard to come by for you guys. And I think in total, I counted it, 42 players made their way through the squad. Mm-hmm. How was that turnover? And you being the captain of the team, it must have been crazy with all that kind of turnstile feel to the roster, at least.
Yeah, not only are we a team that wants to win and succeed and ultimately win championships, but we're here for development. And, you know, to push through the young players, whether it be for one match, half a match, a couple of training sessions, whatever it is, we want the young players at the Toronto FC Academy to come through and develop as much as they can. Obviously, it's tough when you know, there's sort of inconsistency among the group to maybe get results. But at the end of the day, is we're looking for developing the next Jonathan Osorio or any homegrown player like Ashton Morgan. That's what the development side is based on.
You played both friendlies last year against Manchester City and Sunderland?
Yes.
Now, I know fans, you know, fans are always harping on those games, saying they're kind of meaningless and whatever, and it takes away from the senior squad. Why play an extra game? All those kinds of different things that fans seem to have gotten on that narrative a little bit. What do you get out of it as a young player playing in those games?
For me, it's you know, playing at BMO Field is a big thing in front of a crowd is what you always want to do. And not only that, you get to play against high level, the best of the best in the world. And playing against the likes of Aguero and David Silva was obviously a moment I'll never forget. But for me, it's great because not necessarily you don't really want to play the starters in a midweek friendly when you have an important match coming on the weekend. But for a young guy like me, it's a fantastic opportunity to not only show what I have, but to just soak in the experience and enjoy myself.
Now, there's certainly lots of hope to see you up there with the senior squad, and your versatility should earn you some play, I think, at least this year. But what is your path to the senior squad? Because the midfield right now, there's a glut of players there, and I'm kind of wondering, have you talked to management about what they need to see from you to progress up to that point?
Yeah, over the course of preseason, Greg gave me a bit of feedback, and it was all good. He told me that I had a couple of the best games he'd ever seen me play, and which is good for me. And he just wants me to keep being consistent, keep working hard, keep pushing myself day in and day out, and eventually my time will come. So I'm not really too worried about that, essentially. But all I know is, as long as I'm playing well and playing consistently at a high level, then my time will come.
Hey, have you been in contact with the makers of FIFA? They have you as a left back. What's wrong with those guys?
I don't know. A couple of my friends and a couple of my family members were definitely telling me about it, and I checked it out, and I don't know. Definitely not a left back. Maybe if they had me as a right back, I'd understand, because I made a couple of appearances there, but not as a left back, definitely not.
Hey, they're based out of Vancouver. You can just head over to the head office.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Get them to change it. Next in-game update as Chris Minella in center midfield. That would be helpful, especially for all the TFC fans. Hey, Chris, we wish you the best of luck this year. We'll be checking you out over there in Woodbridge. I live right by the stadium, and good Italian core over there. So we'll be cheering. We'll be loving it. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There he is. Fun guy to talk to. That being Chris Minella. Hoping for good things from him with TFC2. Head coach of the Farm Club, Jason Bent. He'll join us next week on TFC Pitchside. And as for TFC2, first game Saturday, March 26th. First home game up in Vaughan, up in my hometown, Woodabridge.
Ontario Soccer Center.
April 17th.
But the big one is in between April 9th, the Derby.
The 4-1 Derby with FC Montreal. So that'll be a lot of fun. TFC2, really good and really cheap to check out if you really want to get into what's going on with the Academy team.
Love looking at the Academy because you're going to see the players of tomorrow.
Exactly. And TFC, as you heard from Tim Bezbachenko last week, they want to make their Academy a real thing. You look at the New York Red Bulls, a lot of their players come from their academy.
And that's what you want to see, though, too. You want your senior team to be filled with your youngsters.
Friday, check it out. Match preview, TFC Pitchside previewing the game with New York City FC to come next Sunday. We'll have those every Friday. Don't know yet if we'll have TFC Extra for you midweek from training. We'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter so you don't miss any of those updates at DanRacho590 and at UnfitRef. This has been yet another edition of TFC Pitchside.